Brady, thank you for taking the time out, joining us here on the 14th day of May. It's good to catch up with you during a little bit of a rain delay here in the spring of 2024. But as we catch up, how are things on the farm over there in Hancock County?
Things are pretty good right now. You caught me at a good time to talk since it's been raining today. But in the past month or so, things have been pretty good in our area. It's been pretty slow times for a while, but we've got a really good early start. So really, we're pretty far ahead of everyone in the state, I would say.
Oh, yeah. How is progress? Where would you put it at for you guys?
For us, we're all done with corn and about 75% done with beans. But for our area, it's probably pretty close. I would say, 80% of the corn is done in our area. So we're really far ahead of the other parts of the state. We really got a pretty good week and a half at the middle of April that we were able to run and get a lot done.
So kind of take us back. You mentioned middle of April there. So is that when you really got started? I mean, I've talked to folks that got started in February with some of that really nice weather we saw there, but kind of rewind the tape a little bit for us.
Yeah, there was a few people in our area that went the last day of February, trying out putting in some beans to just kind of see what happens. But yeah, most of ours, we were going middle of April when things were warm and felt comfortable having everything started. So yeah, that's when pretty much most of our planting got done, was middle of April.
And how has it weathered since? Emergence go well? How's stand looking? Things like that.
It's been pretty good. Definitely wet like everyone else. The emergence has been pretty good just because there was some hard rains that would have been crusting issues, but really it was wet enough where it didn't ever dry out. So really it kind of helped us with not having to replant and things like that. It's been so wet. So nothing to complain about for moisture, I guess. It's good to have enough moisture built back up after it was such a dry fall and winter.
Yeah, you guys were exceptionally dry there in Western Illinois, right?
Yeah, it was probably one of the drier areas in the state, that in Southern Illinois. And even after some of the rains and other moisture in the winter, just when we were working on tiling, digging down below a foot or two, you could see how much drier it was. So there was a long ways to go to build it back up. But I think we're probably at that point now.
Built up with maybe some excess as it keeps raining, right?
Yeah, probably.
For sure. Now, with the the planting experience and emergence going well, you mentioned there that the rain kind of helped keep the ground soft, and you don't want a beating rain and then it to dry out. That kind of turns it into concrete, right? That's what I've been told.
Yeah, if you get to really hard rain, really kind of beats it down and smooths it out, and then it dries out, and the plants really can't get through it. So then you kind of got to go back out and kind of work at a rotary hoe or something to break it up a little bit. But we definitely had the hard rains, but it didn't dry out. So we got kind of lucky on that part.
I think you'll have to go back and replant anything at this point, again, as we talk on the 14th of May?
It's not looking like it right now, but we did plant on Sunday for Mother's Day. So that usually is kind of the day that ends up happening. So it's too early to tell so far.
You tested the Mother's Day curse, huh?
Yep, we did.
Well, best of luck with that. So, with that 25% of beans left, so did you start with beans? Did you start with corn? What was the decision there this year?
We start both at the same time. We run more than one planter, so we're able to basically start with both.
There you go. So you don't have to make that decision. Just get them both in the ground at the same time.
Yep, we've seen the early plant of beans like everyone else is doing. It seems like they're a lot more hardy than they used to be, and you can really start to see pretty good yield increase with it. But if you have enough time to work and get them planted, I know a lot of places in the state now, they would just like to get the corn in.
Yeah, and when we look at the calendar, you hear that May 15th is kind of the yield starts dipping after that. And does that come into play if you didn't have all your corn in, Brady? Would that start coming into the discussion of, okay, do I switch over and get all the corn done and then go back to beans? Or how does that factor in?
Yeah, usually we'll kind of figure on, I think our area, they always say like May 5th or something like that. But if it's May, you know, we would go ahead and make sure we're working on corn to get that all done, because there's a, you know, yield bump from early planted soybeans. But, you know, the 5th or the 15th, whatever that day is in May for the areas, is when the corn yield starts dropping off pretty quickly. So we'll go, if we have that situation, we usually go back and, you know, make sure the corn's done first.
I've talked to a couple other farmers here talking kind of about the same scenario. And how, with your operation, how does thinking ahead toward harvest and logistics and things like that, how does that play into decisions you're making here in the spring?
Most of it's, you know, the seed we're putting in, the number on the beans, things like that. Really, we kind of start with a pretty long season bean and shorten it up as we plant along, and really kind of ends up the beans kind of get ready at the same time. So we'll start out taking out corn, then once the beans are ready, then we'll go ahead and switch to that and get them all out and then go back to corn.
But it does factor in. You are thinking that far ahead to try and factor in, okay, when's this going to be ready and which field here and that kind of thing.
Yep, when it's, we'll factor in when it's going to be ready and kind of the areas we're planting in and things like that. So kind of thinking ahead to the fall to make things a little bit easier.
Have you seen any other challenges? Of course, the weather is the big one here in the spring of 24. Any kind of insects or anything, weeds or anything get out of hand on you or anything like that this year?
Yeah, the weed pressure, just because there was such a big time span when it was too wet to spray, and it was, you know, after that mid-April. So it was warm enough for weeds to start growing. So normally we'd want to get out and spray a little bit earlier than we did, but it wasn't too bad this year. I have not seen any insect problems yet, but I know there's been a lot of talks about it could be a problem here coming up this year, depending on what counties you're in.
On the weed side of things, what's kind of your herbicide management strategy? What kind of, are you doing fall burn downs? It sounds like spring is kind of whenever you get out and attack it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we'll do some in the fall, depending on just a few fields that are kind of weedier than others, and they're a little bit harder to get into in the spring because of the soil types. It takes them a little bit longer to dry out, but for the most part, it'll be a spring burn down.
Mm-hmm. With that spring burn down, of course, I know some producers use dicamba. We've got some restrictions on dicamba. The questions are still out there on if it's going to be available in 25 and whatnot. Your thoughts there? Do you guys use that product? Any experience with it?
We don't use any dicamba. So we're lucky we didn't have that problem that a lot of people had this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out in the future, and really it's kind of a could play out as how other pesticides could be kind of changed in the future, the way that dicamba label was changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just interested to see your kind of take on that. And Brady, also, of course, you serve on the Illinois Soybean Association board, and with your experience there, any kind of projects or anything like that that you're focused on this spring with ISA?
I know that the staff on the agronomy team is working on their field trial network and getting that all ready to go for this year, because it's going to be the first year we're going to have all the different trials across the state going on. So they've been working with all the farmers on what the actual plots are going to look like and getting those started. And I know we're getting into looking at projects for the next fiscal year. So we've been talking to a lot of researchers at universities around the state about things farmers want to see tested on the university farms.
I've had a chance to talk with some of those researchers here recently. I talked to John Pike down in Southern Illinois about some of the studies they're doing with cover crops and soybean cyst nematode through the ISA. That's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the different research projects, there's a lot of research, and it's good to see all the projects that are going on are as interesting as they are. It seems like there's no shortage of good ideas coming from researchers, and then we drive a lot of those from farmers too that go to events, and the questions they're asking we'll take those questions and actually bring them to the researchers and kind of find answers through research.
Mm-hmm. And any research in particular that you've noticed here in the last couple of years that's kind of stood out that you've incorporated on the operation?
I would say there's been a lot of different management practices for the cover crops. That's nothing that we've tried, but I know there's been a lot of people I've talked to that have taken advantage of that, of kind of fine-tuning how they're doing cover crops, and it's made people feel a lot more comfortable if they haven't tried any cover crops yet. There's a lot of more answers out there on how to handle that so they don't run into mistakes like people who were early adopters kind of figured out on their own without research like this being available.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys utilize cover crops, Brady?
We do some. We do some wheat, so we'll put some cover crops after the wheat, and we have tried some in the fall, but some rye out, but it happened to be a dry year, so the uptake or the growing on that wasn't as good as it could have been for a lot of years. But there's a lot of friends and neighbors that use it, and it seems like the way things have changed now, it's a lot easier to get a good stand going than what it has been. Even this past year was so dry this fall, there was still a lot of good stands and fields around us.
Mm-hmm. With seeing that the number of cover crop acres going up here in the state of Illinois, and I just had a call this morning talking with an environmental group pushing for expansion of the state of Illinois' fall covers for spring savings program. What is your thoughts on kind of incentivizing those cover crops, utilizing cover crops and things like that to get more incorporated into the countryside?
Yeah, I think it's a great program. I know that whenever we go to D.C. or Springfield to talk to the legislators, that that exact program is something we always talk to them about, because it seems like both sides can agree that's something that's good, and it's good to bring more money into farmers. It's only $5, but because it can be added to other programs, it's good to just have a little bit more added on to it. And yeah, it's good to see a lot more people trying it out, and I think there will be a lot more in the future as some of the biofuels incentives change. You're seeing a lot with the ethanol, and recently they came out with the what you have to do for the sustainable aviation fuel credits if you're going to be selling corn for that, and that includes putting on cover crops. So I think it's only going to continue to rise in the future.
Do you think those check marks for the sustainable aviation fuel industry, do you think those are attainable for West Central Illinois farmers?
I think some. It would be, it's always tough to do that every year. So it's, I would say, like a lot of the other groups, you're kind of maybe neutral on it. It's not a mandate or anything like that, and it's as people want to do it. So, and you get or incentivize for that. But I think it is obtainable. If that's something you want to do.
It'll be interesting to see how those discussions go with the announcement of the, is it 45Z coming up for next year?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are waiting to see what that turns out to be, because the sustainable aviation fuel, you know, there's not a lot of places that's getting made or that it's possible to be made through that program yet. But the 45Z with the ethanol would change, most of the areas that grow corn could be taking advantage of that. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens when they come out with that.
Yep. Well, Brady, I've taken up a lot of your time, so I appreciate the time. With one more question for you, you got about 25% of the soybeans left. What kind of a window do you need to wrap it all up?
I would say we could get it done in about 2 days. If we get the full 2 days to go.
Well, hopefully Mother Nature provides that window here in short order. And Brady, I appreciate you taking the time out. Best of luck over there in Western Illinois.
Yep. Thanks for having me.